Hey folks, you're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast. We have your co-host here, Chief Todd LeDuc, and me, Dr. Donnie, episode 93.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Hey, this is Dr. Donnie, and of course, I'm going to kick this right over to Chief Todd LeDuc for the LifeScan Learning Lab edition. And Todd, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest for this week, please?
Sounds great. Thanks. Thanks, Donnie. Thrilled to be back as we winding down 2021. We've had some great episodes and some great colleagues and guests, and today's no different. We've got a tremendous guest and a colleague who just happens to be up the road from myself in Palm Beach County. It's Chief Keith Breyer from Palm Beach Gardens Fire Rescue here in Palm Beach County, Florida. So Chief, welcome to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with myself and my co-host, Dr. Donnie. We're thrilled to have you on today.
Thank you very much. Thrilled to be here.
So what I thought we might just start with, and Donnie reminds me all the time, and I say this every episode, so but it bears repeating, that we have a pretty wide and diverse audience of listeners, not just in the United States, but globally. So why don't if you would introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your fire service career and in your journey, how you get into the fire service and where it's taken you.
Okay, happy to. So my name is Keith Breyer, and I'm the fire chief for Palm Beach Gardens Fire Rescue, which I've served almost in this capacity for 6 years. I started in the fire service with Palm Beach Gardens Fire Rescue in 1989 as a volunteer. I was hired on in 1990 as a firefighter EMT. At that time, we didn't have ALS. We were doing BLS. But I was fortunate enough, me and myself and retired Battalion Chief Tom Murphy were the department's first two paramedics. In 1994, we went ALS. As a firefighter paramedic through my career, I served in the Life Safety Services Division. I served as the division chief of EMS, the operations chief, before coming go ahead.
Yeah, no, that spans quite a journey. And what maybe for our listeners, if you can talk a little bit about Palm Beach Gardens and the department itself and the nuances of the community you serve. I know. Being a peer reviewer for many years. I know you're an accredited, internationally accredited agency, but why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the department, if you would, and the uniqueness of it.
Sure. So we are currently five stations. We have 124 shift personnel. We are currently, in the next 2 years, we'll be adding another station, a sixth station. Like you mentioned, we have been accredited since 2006. And we held CAS accreditation since 2019. So we're getting ready for our second round of that. But you know, the accreditation model for us has really worked well. You know, we have a tendency to talk about continuous improvement. And I think it's one of those things that's easy to talk about, but it's much harder to actually do. And what we found is those two models actually really work well for us. They keep us at the forefront. They keep us looking at things we need to do and to constantly improve. So, you know, to be honest with you, when we first went into it, it was more of a yearly project, right? When it would come up at the end of the 5 years, we'd scramble. But over the last two cycles, we've really, we hired an accreditation manager who has kept everybody on track, but we really kind of imprinted it into our department. And it's worked rather well for us. It's easy to take those recommendations from the commission and move forward with elected officials and city manager to get things done when you have that backed up in those recommendations. So it's really worked really well for us. You know, Palm Beach Gardens is in the northern end of Palm Beach County. We are kind of like a golf course community. Everybody here has big developments with a lot of golf courses. It's the home of the Honda Classic, which we got coming up. And we have a lot of people that, quite frankly, are just here seasonally. So right now, currently, we're at almost about 59,000 residents. We run just about 13,000 calls a year. Like most fire departments, we're about 80% EMS related calls. So, you know, but that's picking up year after year.
Hey, Chief, what are some of your toughest challenges that you and the department face?
So, you know, no doubt, COVID over the last couple of years has been one of the most difficult things that we've had. But, you know, we're the fire service, so we adapt and we overcome and we just go to work and do what we have to do. You know, early on in the pandemic, there was a lot of angst with personnel. There wasn't a lot of good information coming out, although there was a lot of information, but it seemed to change quite quickly. So, you know, fortunately for us, Dr. Ken Shepkus, the state EMS medical director, has been our medical director for the past 15 years. So with Ken, we also hired an infectious disease specialist to kind of walk us through a lot of this, especially with, you know, when to isolate, when not, and really just walking us through those guidelines. And, you know, we were very, very fortunate. We did not lose a large portion of our personnel either out to just having a quarantine or getting sick. So we were really, really fortunate. And then like everybody else, you know, the difficult challenges for us is, you know, we know that the fire service is difficult, both physically, mentally, and emotionally on a person. So, you know, over the last several years, there's been a lot of focus on kind of correcting those things from the past, but it still is a huge hurdle to overcome. You know, currently right now, I have a 41-year-old captain with stage 4 lung cancer. He was diagnosed 2 years ago. He was actually originally diagnosed through a life scan physical. But, you know, those are those challenges and what we can do as administrators to be able to keep the health, safety, and wellness of our personnel first and foremost. You know, our personnel are our biggest asset. And if we're not willing to put the time, effort, energy, and money behind keeping them healthy, physically, mentally, and emotionally, then, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to the fire service over a period of time. We have got to evolve and we got to adapt to make sure our people are safe.
Yes, absolutely. I could not agree more. And our thoughts and prayers go out to your firefighter with stage 4 there and his family. And, you know, you mentioned about with COVID and all of those challenges, which I understand, great, great challenge. This is being recorded on December 20th, 2021. I just wanted to put that in the record there of when we're recording, because anytime you look at the news, regardless of probably which news outlet you look at, we're seeing the COVID cases on the rise and the bleak outlook for the coming of months and things like that. I've read some universities are starting to shut down, businesses in certain states are shutting down. You happen to be in a state that usually stays wide open, you and Todd living down there in Florida. But with that, are you seeing anything from this latest spike, or is it, I'm just sort of curious from that, if you're seeing anything happening?
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely been some movement. I think now our transmission rate is probably at 168 per 100,000. We're back up to, you know, a moderate community spread. I think our transmission rate, I think this morning was 6.2%. So yeah, we've seen it increase. It's increasing slowly. But what we'll do is we won't wait too long before we put practices back in. So, you know, shifts, our crews were wearing masks while in the stations, while in the vehicles, and we'll put that back in sooner rather than later. The good news is that I think the overwhelming majority of our people are vaccinated. They've had their booster vaccinations. although, you know, they're still diligent about, you know, keeping their masks on. And I think now we work through the hard part, right? So when in the beginning of this, you know, we were doing cardiac arrests and SCBA masks because nobody quite knew. We were fortunate enough that we had enough N95 masks and didn't run out. But when we were working cardiac arrest, crews were working them with SCBA masks just because we just didn't know. So, you know, I think as we move forward, there was a lot of lessons learned, and I think we got better with that. So hopefully we could take those lessons moving forward and decrease the impact, at least to our personnel.
Oh, I appreciate that. And Keith, I'm asking more of the questions just simply because Todd's got a speaker issue potentially, but Todd, of course, jump in anytime you want. But I would like to ask you about your experience. I'm always curious with LifeScan Wellness, such as your history with them, how long you've been with LifeScan, and you mentioned the one diagnosis through LifeScan a couple years ago. So I was just curious about how long you've had it and your overall experience with them.
So we've completed 3 years with LifeScan. In the very first year that they were here, we had two fire rescue personnel and a family member that was diagnosed with cancer. So, you know, just that first year, the dividends that paid were huge. These were people, you know, that, you know, some of them, especially family members, you know, one of the things that LifeScan does that we've really taken advantage of is that friends and family. So a week when our personnel are out, family can come in. And there was actually a family member that was diagnosed with thyroid cancer so early, in fact, that it was really I think she went to Moffitt Center in Tampa, who they said, listen, this couldn't have been caught at a better time as early as it was. So, you know, I think what it brings is a lot of peace of mind, right? We go to our regular physicals and we don't always have a lot of peace of mind. And, you know, years ago in 1990, when I went for my department physical, you'd walk into a physician's office and you'd go, how are you? Have a seat and point to a chair. And if you sat down, he would check off your eyes and ears. You know, there was no pulmonary function. There was no real good history and physical exam. There were certainly no ultrasound. So it's progressed it much. But what's really nice is the first year that we had it, a lot of our personnel contacted us and just said, you know what, we really appreciate having such a real thorough physical and that we really have a lot of peace of mind moving forward where we are. There were numerous things. We get the kind of the aggregate data, we don't know, but there was a ton of people that were diagnosed with, not a ton, but hypertension, right? That might not have known that they had it before, type 2 diabetes. We had some that fell right into metabolic syndrome. So, you know, finding those things early and correcting them before there could be any lasting damage is imperative. And it's really important that every fire department does a 1582 physical to make sure that their people are getting the care that they need or the physicals that they need.
All right. Thank you very much, Chief. And Todd, let me, or both of you, I would like to ask a question. Those physicals that you, 1584, correct? Yeah. Is you say that all departments, you know, you would like to see all departments do that. Do we have an idea nationwide what the percentage of departments do those?
That's funny, Donnie, you more ironic NFPA, I'm sure the chief may have seen this as well, just released the fifth edition of the National Needs Assessment that came from National Fire Protection Association. And if I remember it correctly, I think the number was 63% of departments nationally, unfortunately, are not doing an NFPA 1582 physical. You know, and I know even with my service on the IFC Safety, Health, and Survival Section Board, that kind of shook us and emails went back and forth saying, boy, we have a lot more work to still do. So I know the chief has been very proactive, just as he shared with us. And I know he's had obviously LifeScan, and he's had Chief Kerrigan down to focus on functional fitness. And I'm sure he'll be talking to you about your work-life balance seminars and the value that those bring. But you know, I think a point for particularly, you know, you mentioned chief accredited agencies in you know, making that a kind of a way that the organization guides itself. And It's interesting to note that the Commission for Fire Accreditation recently placed health and wellness as its own criterion and category. And you know what, it's an opportunity to showcase, accredited departments leading the way on the health and wellness front. But yeah, I definitely, sadly to say, I think we've got a lot more work to do. I know anecdotally, Donnie, you've heard me say, LifeScan, our business and our model, we're really expanding. And I think that speaks to more of a focus from departments on health and wellness. But the statistics would say we still need to make further inroads. Chief, any thoughts on that? I know you all are leading the way in Palm Beach County, but I know you're active with other chiefs in the region. Any thoughts on where we are with health and wellness as a service?
Well, I think it's picking up. I think now that if you are a professional fire department that is well funded and you are not providing these physicals, it raises a lot of eyebrows, right? So you're spending money, but where are you spending it? Are you spending it in the right place? And now with everything that we know, right, with cancer and PTSD and all the things that come along with this job, it's one of those things where it's not a question of do we need to, we absolutely have to. And those fire departments need to get with their elected officials or city managers and explain the importance on how important it is to make sure that we're doing everything that we can for our personnel. So I think I see it picking up. I see you guys at all the conferences and LifeScan is out there, and you guys have been doing this and pounding the pavement for years and have done a great job, but there's no excuse anymore, right? Years ago, we didn't have the information that we had, but you know what, now we do. And now we have people that can come in and like LifeScan and give you a 1582 compliant physical. And if anything, even for me, it's a peace of mind knowing that, we just went through this whole process and they have information. Information is power. So now what they do with that, and they go back out to their private physicians and they start taking care of these chronic, diabetes or hypertension, because if they don't, it's all going to wind up to, underlining cardiovascular disease at one point. And this is not the job that you want to have. If you have cardiovascular disease, the cardiovascular strain that when you go into a fire with dehydration and everything, the stress that you put on and the coagulability of your blood, and now you have a weak heart to be able to, it's a disaster. Even in 2020, most of the on-duty injury or deaths, line of duty deaths, were cardiac arrests. That's something that could be easily identified early with a 1582 compliant physical. So I think now the pressure has to be really putting pressure on people going, look, you have really got to somehow make this work and get this done for your people.
Yeah, Chief, I echo your sentiments and really a call to action. And Donnie's heard me say this, and I keep saying it because I think it resonates, but we would never, I would hope, put our firefighters in apparatus that have ball tires, no brakes, no winch wipers, and hope for the best. So almost exclusively in every department, we have preventative maintenance plans for our apparatus. But, you have to scratch. I have to scratch my head when I read an NFPA survey of our industry, showing that 63% of departments still don't have 1582 physicals in place. So I, those that are listening, we're probably preaching to the choir, but that choir sings louder when we're all singing together. It really, you talk about cost. We have a firefighter in Spring, Texas. I think Donnie may have seen one of the video clips of this firefighter saying, for the cost of a LifeScan annual physical, to find, in his case, he had testicular cancer that we identified. It was less than the cost of a Class A dress uniform than it would have been to bury him in. And those were his words, and they resonate to me because you said it right on the nail on the head is, you know, we have to take care of our people, and that can't be just empty, hollow words. It speaks through action.
You know, it brings up, Todd, you know, I was in Marin County, California the other week for doing a week-long workshops. Chief, I do these half-day workshops on work-life balance that my research that just finished a couple years ago for my doctorate was on self-care. You know, how well do we take care of our physical health, mental health, spiritual, and social health, and how that contributes to work-life balance. And the thing that came out of the models that came out of this research and all of that is I sort of wrapped it up in how I define work-life balance. And Todd, what you were saying, it just seems like it's hitting so true. Like, the way I look at work-life balance is simply this: are your daily behaviors in alignment with your priorities in life? And when we think about priorities for the fire department, and actually really any organization, healthy workers, right? Healthy staff, healthy firefighters, and good family relationships, you can't beat those two priorities. Because no matter, you know, and we all know, if someone, you know, when they're on their deathbed, they look back, they wish they had been healthier. They wish they had those closer relationships. So that's the work that I do, is going in and helping people rediscover their priorities, and then put a plan together, truly a project plan, on how to go from, you know, how to start aligning your behaviors to support those priorities. And Todd, it just struck me for the first time when you're talking about departments and leaders, and, you know, it's like, and both of you guys are saying, hey, the awareness is there. What's not there? Behaviors that are aligned with these that should be top priorities. Let me get your thoughts on that, if I could, Chief.
So, you know, you're right. They, it's, you know, it, like we said a little bit earlier, it is so difficult to walk the walk, right? We could all talk it, but to be able to walk that. I just want to go back a little bit. I can tell you that when we first implemented the LifeScan physicals, I can't tell you how many people of our personnel came up and made it a point to say, you know what, when the department is willing to spend the money for this resource, and it really says a lot about how you feel about us as employees. And that was, for me, you know, that was really special to hear, because we do care about them and we do want that. But, you know, when we're looking back and we're talking about that work-life balance, but we're talking about on the fire side about doing that, walking the talk, and, you know, it's so important. And like Chief said, we just can't, the information is out there, and you could always do something, right? Or you could move towards something. You could work with your labor unions, which are always willing to work with the health and wellness for their personnel. So there's always stuff that goes out there to kind of create that, you know, balance. But these guys are, they're exposed to a lot of stuff in their daily job. And to be able to do that and to bring that home, I think is, you know, paramount, quite frankly.
Yeah, it speaks volumes, and it certainly shows, and it's palpable when you go into departments and you can sense that, care and that investment really in our family, fire service family. And Chief, you mentioned even with LifeScan, and I know we did this at Broward County, where I retired from, and we have a number of departments across the country that include the family as well, right? Because if the family is not functioning and healthy, that bleeds over into the job. And it certainly does send a loud and clear message that we care for our people and their families. And you know, whether it's a fire service or any other business, if we take care of our employees, that comes back many times over. So tremendous insight. And Donnie, thanks for kind of sparking that, because I think, you know, as someone that goes around the country speaking on this topic, 15 years ago I would have had one person in the room. Now the room's full, and I don't think my speaking has changed that much in the 15 years, but we still have to, you know, walk that walk, as the Chief said. And that has to start with taking care of our folks. So Chief, I wanted to obviously be mindful of your time, but from the perspective of what we've been talking about today, whether that's accreditation, leadership, investing in our people, any other key takeaways that you would, you know, you've had a long career, you've seen a lot of changes as the fire service has evolved. Any other thoughts for our listeners that either resources that they can point to for developing future leaders, or any words of wisdom from where you sit today for maybe our listeners that are out there that are aspiring to be chief of department or chief officers?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that this is, over the last several years, this has been kind of a function that we've been putting forward as far as leadership. And I don't know if our fire department was any different from any others, but coming up through the ranks, to be honest with you, there wasn't a lot of emphasis on leadership. You know, you had guys that, quite frankly, there were good leaders, and you probably learned just as much from the poor leaders of what not to do, but there was really not a lot of emphasis placed on leadership. So what we've done over the last several years is we have redone our professional development plan, and it includes a lot of NFA classes, but up into that rank of coming to district captain or battalion chief, we switch from the technical classes to leadership classes. What we have to do is be able to prepare people to step into their role, to be able to really grasp what their role is. So, you know, I have a guy that's a great paramedic in the field, and now he's a district captain in charge of EMS for the shift, but he doesn't have those leadership abilities, or even those, and even more importantly, is those soft skills in leadership, right? The human side of that, the softer side, to be able to communicate with people and have those skills. We don't do it nearly as much as we should. So we've instituted a lot of those things. We've instituted NFA into our professional development. I just took a professional development academy through ICMA, which was kind of spearheaded by Colin Powell, that did the whole groundwork for this. But it was a great course, but it really talked about just leadership in general. We're not talking about technical skills and, you know, venting a fire or car extrication. This is about leadership. And if we don't start preparing our people for leadership roles, they're going to get there and they're going to have a tough time floundering through that and make a lot of mistakes that don't have to be done. So I think, you know, part of success is succession, finding out who underneath you is going to take that place and then let them walk through it. You know, for me personally, I hire good people, and then I let them do their job and I let them get out of the way, and they understand it's okay for them to make mistakes so long as they learn from them in the future. And they, you know, when they need to get feedback from me, they get it, but most often they understand the direction. You know, I sit down and tell every one of my chief officers, I don't have enough SOGs that I could possibly write in the course of everything you're going to have to come up in the day, in the course of doing your duties. When I first became fire chief, I had to go back in and sign and review all the SOGs. And I got rid of probably over 50% of them, because I don't really need to tell people. Some of the things were ridiculous, and Todd, you'll know this. A lot of those policies have a person's name attached to it, right? So what do we do in the fire service? One guy makes a mistake and then we punish everybody else. So we got rid of all those. And what we did is we did a cover letter, and it basically said, listen, at the end of the day, I don't have a policy for everything you're gonna come in contact with. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna give you some guidelines. First, the health, safety, and wellness of our personnel is paramount. That comes first. Second is the safety and customer service for our citizens. And third is liability of the city. So based on that, whatever decision you make, regardless of the outcome, if you could tell us that these three things were taken into consideration, we'll back you 100%. And that really, what it says to them is, I trust you to make a decision, and you're not always going to make the right decision, because a lot of times we don't really have all the information, right? But if you do it and you keep those things in mind, then we're going to back you 100% regardless of that. But I really think that, you know, there's a lot of good fire service leaders out there. And, you know, getting them in to do talks or just getting yourself and educating yourself just on the leadership part, I think is crucial for the fire service moving forward, for sure.
That's some great wisdom there, Chief. And Donnie will appreciate this being of military pedigree. I was a Sterling Examiner a number of years ago in a base here in Florida. The commanding officer had basically a card printed, very similar to what you said, Chief. It had the mission, the vision of the organization, and it had listed the core values. And what he told each member of the base was, you know, if you're in doubt about a decision, pull it out. If it fits into the mission, the vision, and doesn't violate our core values, you know, just do it. Don't ask for permission. But some great lessons there. And we just had, Donnie and I just had Eric Gablix on is the podcast, who, of course, came from out in Oregon, is now the superintendent of the National Fire Academy. And, you know, you mentioned that's such a tremendous resource. It's paid for, and they have great leadership development training. And you mentioned ICMA, and certainly I saw you have your chief fire officer designation through Center for Public Safety Excellence as well. So tremendous amount of resources out there. And we hope everyone that's listening, you know, invest not only in the health and wellness of their people, but as you said, that succession. You know, the worst thing we can do for people is put them in positions and not prepare them to succeed. So hats off to you, Chief, for all the work you've done in your department and in our industry.
Thank you.
Yeah. Donnie, I think we're just almost at 40 minutes. I know the Chief, we want to be mindful of time. I think we've had some great dialogue today. I know we'll certainly look to have you back on and continue, you know, some pretty great information, some great pearls of wisdom from your fire service career. And I know our listeners can certainly glean a lot from our dialogue today. And certainly we'd love to have you back on for episode 2.
Love to do it. And I just want to say, listen, thank you for everything you guys are doing, have done in the past and are doing for the fire service. It's commendable and it's much appreciated.
No, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you very much, Chief. Thank you, Todd. And with we have anything else or any last question, Todd, or anything like that? Or
no, I just want to wish everyone I think probably we'll be into 2022 by the time this is released. So I want to wish everyone from Donnie, myself, and Chief Breyer a healthy and safe 2022. Be safe out there and continue to tune in. We've got a whole lineup of great guests coming for the new year.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Chief Breyer.
Thank you, gentlemen. Take care. Be well.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.